Well, we welcome you back to the SermonCoach.com podcast with Dr. David Maynes. I'm your host, Dean Wilson, and we're talking to pastors, trying to help pastors create more effective, life-transforming sermons. David, you have occasion to visit more churches than most people. Do you see this as a plus or a minus?
For me personally, it's a minus, but for the cause of Christ, it's probably a plus. It's tough to be away from your home church that much. You know, my pastor says, "Where were you this time?" Which is an improvement over, "Are you a visitor where it used to be?" You know, but I'm gone a lot. The plus side is that I have been given exposure to all kinds of different church backgrounds, and that's very broadening. In fact, I've come to realize that most people know very little about the church except for their own local church experience. They don't visit that many other churches. So I have an opportunity to evaluate and say, compared to other churches, this is where you are, you know, not only with my home church, but with other churches where I do consulting work. I think it's a plus.
Give me an example, if you will, of something you might see as a visitor that an insider might miss.
The insider becomes very used to things, and after a while it becomes routine. They never think twice about it. One of those would be welcoming the visitors, okay? In most churches, it's kind of a meaningless exercise. They say, "Would the visitors stand, please? All right, now these are the visitors. Would you who are regulars turn around and welcome the visitors?" And then a conversation goes on something like this, because I've been the recipient of this. "Oh, you're a visitor, aren't you?" "Yes, I'm a visitor." This is your first time here, right?" "Yeah, it's my first time here." "You've never been here before, huh?" "Nope, never been here before." "Well, welcome." It's kind of like one of those, nobody knows what to say, but it goes on Sunday after Sunday because it got started that way and is going to continue that way ad infinitum unless somebody says, "This is not working." You know, so you have to rethink the questions or whatever, because it just is a meaningless thing. So if you say, "Well, what would be a better question?" A better question to ask someone would be, "What prompted you to visit our church?" And then the individual can say, "Well, we're new in the area. We're looking for a church home, and we thought we would try here." Well, that's great. That's good information. But people don't know how to ask those questions. And as a visitor going through that, I say, you know, some better thought needs to go into this, because this is kind of embarrassing for the regulars who try to figure out what to say and for the visitors who have very dumb questions to answer. And then it goes off Sunday after Sunday. So the outsider like myself maybe can say, "Let's work at this a little bit more."
Is that the only example you have, or can you give us another one?
I can give you almost an unlimited number of examples. Dean, a lot of churches, I'm not sure in your church whether this is true. I visited your church, I just don't remember. But a lot of churches have what they call passing the peace. So at a certain point, basically, it's a greeting time again. It's much like welcome the visitors, except this is for all of the people who are there regularly. And it's so people can get to know one another a little bit more, but there's no meaningful interchange that goes on. And I watch, and I've been the visitor a lot of times, and they'll say, "Let's pass the peace," and someone will say, "The Lord's peace to you." And, you know, the next person doesn't want to say the same thing. So they say, "Hi." You know, and pretty soon, it's just this large mingling of bodies, but nothing of any substance goes on. And oftentimes in churches, I've even watched as the pastor and the pastor's spouse, they will go around and greet everybody, but it's basically a handshake, and that's the extent of it. And you say, well, what was the passing of the peace about? You know, I didn't understand what was going on there. So as the outsider, you're kind of blank, and you're saying, somehow that didn't have a lot of meaning to me. And as the insider, it's not a problem, because they've gone through it enough times, they know what to do, and it's just kind of the way everything goes on. So I think passing of the peace ought to be thought through a lot more.
As a germaphobe, I want to put rubber gloves on when that part of the service comes.
You're going to have a harder time with your ideas than I will with my ideas.
Yeah, I actually carry a small bottle of hand cleaner that after the during the pastoral prayer, which follows the passing of the peace, I wash up.
That is really funny.
Welcoming visitors is really a kind of a critical thing. And years ago, we strategized to, rather than have the visitors stand or acknowledged in some way, we suggested that when the pastor welcomed people at the beginning of the service, that the pastor use words like, we welcome you to blah, blah, blah church today. If you're visiting with us, we have a gift for you today. And if you would like to receive that gift, the ushers will come up the aisle and if you'll just put up your hands. And the gift was something like a Gospel of John or a Gospel of Luke. In fact, when the Passion of the Christ was very much in the headlines, the movie, we bought these little Gospels of Luke that were keyed to that motion picture. And so you give the folks something of significance. You give them the opportunity to self-identify or not.
Yeah, because some people don't want to.
Yeah. And I think that makes a much more comfortable situation. Currently, our church has fallen into a pattern which I understand is becoming quite popular and I think is quite off-putting to visitors, and that is that they have permanent name tags for all of the regular attendees, and they keep them in a rack, and as you come in, you pick up your name tag and put it on. It's got a magnetic clip to hold it to your clothing. Well, now you've really segregated the people from the people from the regulars to the visitors.
Maybe they could have a thing that says pagan.
It seems to me very silly because the theory is that, well, then when people greet each other, they learn each other's names. Well, that's not necessarily why I've come to church, and I do have a sense that it really segregates the visitors and makes them uncomfortable. I'm sure there's alternative opinions about that, but I don't think it's a very good idea. But it goes back to the idea of how welcoming are you as a people to visitors coming
and
into church.
And it also says somebody's at least trying to think it through, which is good. They don't just let the routine go on time and time again without ever challenging it. Good.
So in your church visits, do you have more examples you can give us?
Yeah, I do, Dean. I think a lot of times the actual singing of the hymns is a tough one. And it's become routine, so people sing the words and they're not even aware of what they're singing. Or if, again, you talk about the outsiders, I recall one young woman, her name was Jane. She was a street person, and she arrived at our home because she had heard that we were welcoming to strangers and she desperately needed a place to stay. She had a rough life, real rough life, and we said we would take her in. She ended up staying with us for probably 3 years, and that was quite a transformative time in her life. But I would take her to church around the house. She was just a welcome visitor. We didn't charge her anything. And around the house, she would sing all the time. She sang popular songs. And I just was aware that she did this. But when we would go to church, she would never sing. She never participated in the singing. And one day, I was a little bit frustrated. So in my kind, gentlemanly way, on the way home from church, I said, "You really frustrate me, Jane, because around the house you sing all the time, but when you get to church, you are quiet as a titmouse. You know, you don't open your, you don't even try. You don't even look at the books, and that frustrates me, you know, because I'm trying to make this a meaningful time for you." And she started to cry, which meant that I was not as gracious in my approach as I should have been, but I humiliated her, and that's an unfortunate part of the story, but she said, "You know why I don't sing?" And I said to her, "I haven't the faintest idea, but I would like to know." And she's, "I don't know how to read music." And I thought to myself, goodness gracious, I never thought of that. In fact, she can hardly read words, much less music, with her background. Then I thought, Dean, how many people are in our churches who don't know how to read music, and we have never set up classes in the churches. This is how to read music for people who don't know how. Why could she sing the popular songs? Because she heard them over and over again. And I thought, this is going on with all kinds of people, because I began to look around then afterward at church and see some people were singing and some people weren't singing. And it was just assumed everybody could sing. Now, it's changed a lot, because you don't need to know how to read music to sing a lot of the praise choruses and such, because they read them, repeat them so many times, they get ingrained in your head, in a sense. But I thought to myself, again, just in terms of processing with people, what are they picking up and what aren't they? There's a world of difference between what I'm assuming and what is actual fact for people.